Season 5, episode 42, your midweek bonus episode where, well, we just got all kinds of great extra stupidity. In fact, I'm getting so much stupidity, I hope I don't have to add a third episode in a week, because it's crazy. It's stupid. Well, it should be stupid, because this whole podcast is stupid.
All the stories that you're going to hear in this podcast are true. None of the names have been changed because we've all done something stupid.
Because it's a great big stupid world, and we're feeling kind of crazy as it turns around. Great big stupid world.
I'm Insane Eric Lane. And welcome to the midweek bonus episode of My Stupid World. Just remember, if you see something stupid, say something stupid. And if you like the podcast, make sure you rate and review it, because I get 5-star stupidity for you. So give it a 5-star rating and maybe even write a review of the podcast. I just might read it in an upcoming episode. Of course, if you're naked, you're guaranteed to be on this podcast, no matter what you do. Okay, I'm just telling you. Okay, like the 27-year-old Pennsylvania man who is facing charges after police said he jumped through his neighbor's window to gain entry to the house naked. Yeah, the Pottsville Bureau of Police reported that just after 7 o'clock in the morning, the officers there responded to a reported breaking and entering. Police said that Michael Yakinchik of Schuylkill Haven was naked, jumped through his neighbor's window, shattering the glass of the window pane to get inside. According to the responding officers, when they got there, a female resident told police that Yakinchik was a neighbor that jumped through the window, and he was still in the house. Now, according to law enforcement, police entered the house and Yakinchik, again, still naked, approached officers, refusing to listen to verbal commands. Police said that they tried to take Yakinchik into custody, but he continuously resisted and disobeyed numerous orders. The Pottsville officer said it took 3 different officers to try to finally subdue Yakinchik and take him into custody. Another occupant told police whenever they heard that the window had shattered, they saw Yakinchik lying on the ground. When he got up, he started walking toward him, saying, "I'm going to kill you," multiple times. Pottsville police said a male resident began to grapple with Yakinchik, but he broke free just as the law enforcement got there. I don't know about you, but just the idea of grappling with a naked man? Ugh. Anyway, Yakinchik was taken into custody and charged with felony counts of burglary and criminal trespassing, as well as indecent exposure, obviously, simple assault and criminal mischief. Yakinchik is now out of prison on a $15,000 bond while he awaits his preliminary hearing. So jumping through a window naked is pretty bold, don't you think? I mean, he could have cut up his wiener like someone eating a hot dog with a fork and knife. I'd say he's probably the worst neighbor ever. I mean, he's the guy that shows up to your barbecue with nothing but buns. And I don't mean bread. I wonder if he had man boobs. You know, if you're a middle-aged man, and you have an impressive set of knockers? Well, I got some tough news for you, I'm afraid. Those man boobs might kill you someday. I just keep thinking about my uncle who lived in California. He had a pretty good set of man boobs. And I just remember my grandmother looking at him one time and asking him if he needed a brassiere. Well, there's a study out of University of Copenhagen found that men with man boobs, or moobs, are at a 37% higher risk for early death before the age of 75. The good news is that, well, just having them because you're overweight does not count. See, it only applies to men with a condition called gynecomastia. That's when a hormone imbalance causes enlarged breast tissue in guys. I mean, having big old honkers just because you're chubby is a little different. That's just called pseudo-gastrinomastia or whatever, I guess. But gynecomastia, whatever you want to call it. Anyway, they say it doesn't come with the same risks, although being overweight isn't a good idea either. The bad news is you could have the bad version and not even know it. Experts aren't really sure, but they think it could affect about a third to two-thirds of the men on some levels. The hormone imbalance can happen at any age, but tends to peak during puberty. And again, as you get older, with the testosterone dropping. So, yeah, be sure and check your man boobs to make sure that they're legit. You might have heard people also tagging squirrels for research and conservation purposes. Well, this is not that. This is a 62-year-old New York man named Mark Kuhn. He was arrested for trapping and spray painting squirrels a very bright candy apple red color. Now, we're not really sure why he was doing this or actually how he was caught. Maybe they caught him red-handed. Authorities found two traps with red spray paint on them, and this was at the guy's house. He admitted he was releasing the squirrels at other locations after they painted them red. An official said that he was using some toxic paint, and it was intentional. He wanted to harm the squirrels because he didn't want them coming back onto his property. The Putnam County SPCA chief Ken Ross tells the New York Post he said he didn't want the squirrels in his backyard. It makes his dogs bark, and he felt by spray painting them, they wouldn't come back. He'd also be able to know if it's the same squirrels coming back. So now the SPCA, which has law enforcement powers there, was first tipped off by the county probation department that Mr. Kuhn, who himself is on probation for an unrelated earlier bust, was tagging squirrels. Ross said Kuhn allegedly would trap the harmless animals and stick them in the cages and then spray painted them with Rust-Oleum paint and primer before they cut them loose about a quarter of a mile away. The man was charged with three counts of poisoning or attempted to poison animals and other violations of state environmental conservation laws. Ross said the tainted squirrels have not been recovered, but have been spotted a few times on surveillance video, and they've actually been the subject of several sightings by some local residents. So, yeah, the dude's spray-painting squirrels. This guy's just nuts. You got to leave the squirrels alone, you know? I mean, after all, what else are neighborhood dogs supposed to chase? Jeez. Well, there was an airline passenger from the good old USA who allegedly bit a female cabin crew member in mid-flight, forcing the Al Nippon Airways flight bound for Seattle to come back to Tokyo, according to an airline spokesperson. Flight ANA-118 departed Tokyo's Haneda Airport and turned around a little about an hour into its journey, according to the flight tracking website Flight Radar 24. An ANA spokesperson tells CNN a male passenger was detained by police after the plane landed in the Japanese capital. They didn't name him, but a female flight attendant sustained minor injuries, according to the spokesperson. The Tokyo Metro Police Department declined to further detail the case, and it's not the first case of an alleged mid-air biting. Several incidents have been reported over about a month period of bad behavior and aggression from passengers, including an American Airlines flight that was diverted to a Texas airport when a passenger allegedly punched a flight attendant and assaulted at least one police officer. Makes you wonder why I don't fly more frequently, huh? Yeah, well, anyway. I mean, and if you're on the seat to start with, you know, the cramped little seats, and you end up getting stuck in that middle seat, you know, you thought that might be rough? Well, a SpiceJet passenger had the crappiest flying experience ever. They got trapped in the lavatory for the entire flight, practically. A passenger, unfortunately, got stuck in the lavatory for about an hour, according to the budget airline in a statement addressing the involuntary downgrade. The unnamed flyer reportedly went to go to the lavatory shortly after takeoff on a 1 hour and 45-minute night flight from Mumbai to Bengaluru, according to the Indian Express. But when he tried to leave after doing his business, the door wouldn't open because of a lock malfunction. So that effectively trapped the passenger inside the bathroom, according to the statement. Now, the crew and other passengers desperately tried to free the flyer from the outhouse arrest, but to no avail. As a result, he was relegated to the great honey bucket in the sky for practically the entire flight. Now, in an attempt to calm the passenger during the in-flight encrapment, crew members slid a little note under the door, a la FBI investigators trying to reassure a hostage, you might say. It says, quote, "Sir, we tried our best to open the door. However, we could not. Do not panic. We are landing in a few minutes, so please close the commode lid and sit on it and secure yourself. As soon as the main door is open, our engineer will come. Well, that always calms anyone down, right? Now, sit on the commode lid and secure yourself. I love that part. His solitary confinement finally ended up landing. Finally, two engineers boarded the aircraft and broke open the door, rescuing the commode captive from the outhouse arrest, after which he received immediate medical support. What kind of medical support would you need being in the loo for over an hour and 45 minutes? I don't know. But there was a 23-year-old Brazilian inmate who had the tattoo across his forehead that said, quote, "I am a thief and an idiot." Well, he escaped from jail just days before his scheduled release, which got him locked up for even longer and in a maximum security prison after he handed himself in. His name, Ruan Roca da Silva. Ruan Roca da Silva was one of seven inmates that escaped Sao Paulo's provisional detention center, Belém 1, on Christmas Day after capturing prison officers. Folha de São Paulo reported this, that Silva, whose forehead was forcibly tattooed by two of his earlier victims, was just days away from ending his four-year sentence for yet another theft. Now, he appeared to regret his decision and turned himself into military police 2 days later. His telling head tattoo appeared to be mostly covered up or gone, according to the photo of him wearing a Mickey Mouse sweatshirt and cuffs during his latest arrest. He has had some of the ink surgically removed, but some letters are still pretty visible, other photos showed. It was not immediately clear when he had that work done or to try to hide what it said. But Silva was resentenced to serve out an extended prison term in a closed regime, or Brazil's most restrictive form of incarceration, according to Folha de São Paulo, without specifying exactly how much extra time that he got. Now, Silva was forcibly tattooed with the bizarre forehead ink by two men that he tried to rob back in 2017. Both men served time for inflicting serious bodily injury and illegal or embarrassment. Silva was then jailed in February 2019 when he stole a cell phone and money from two emergency room employees, and he briefly escaped from custody but was listed as having good behavior before this latest short-lived jailbreak. So, I mean, normally most people aren't big fans of face tattoos, but I think for this guy it's absolutely perfect. But look, to be fair, not everybody with a face tattoo is a thief, but they certainly are all idiots. And there's a Mexican bride who spent her wedding day in handcuffs after she and her soon-to-be husband were charged with a massive extortion scheme involving drug cartels. The bride, who is named as Nancy N., was arrested ahead of her wedding to a man named Clemente N. He was also known by the alias Raton, meaning mouse. The prosecutors posted videos and photos on social media, including photos showing Nancy in her wedding dress and handcuffs, surrounded by police, along with the bride and the groom. Six other men were also arrested that same day on accusations that they pressured chicken merchants near Mexico City to the point of kidnapping four employees of a poultry shop in nearby Toluca. Many of the members had nicknames, and prosecutors identified their roles in the extortion plan. And one of those men, taken by police, identified as Santiago N., is alleged to have driven an Explorer-type truck to drive the kidnapping victims. The suspects are believed to be connected to a drug cartel known as La Familia Michoacana, which was charged with killing a half dozen people with a drone in southern Mexico. They're believed by prosecutors to be fighting off rival gangs in order to control the area. Now, extortion plots by gangs remain a pretty big problem in Mexico, despite the 3.4% drop in the activity in 2023 versus 2022. But authorities there claim that the criminal gangs have actually lost $47 million in profits from being unable to extort poultry and egg businesses. But man, talk about having an eventful wedding day. I mean, this was even worse than your uncle getting plastered and bringing up the 2024 election. She was expecting to wear handcuffs on the night of her wedding, but look, I'm talking about the fuzzy ones, you know? No. In any case, well, I enjoy a good strong cup of coffee like anybody else does, right? But I guess a good strong cup of coffee doesn't really cut it for the next generation coming up behind us. Now, people are just snorting caffeine now. That's right. A product called Want-A-Bump launched this last year. It's a white powder that looks just like cocaine, but it's legal. So you can buy it on Amazon. It's billed as instant energy on demand. It's in the news now because it's been circulating on social media, and experts are telling people, do not buy it. Just because it's legal doesn't mean it's safe, or for that matter, even smart. When you drink caffeine or get it from things like chocolate, it absorbs into your body gradually. But you see, if you snort it, it gets into your bloodstream a lot faster, and you can overdose. Overdosing on caffeine, wow. I mean, doing it regularly can also mess up your nasal passages, just like cocaine. I mean, you'd have to chug 28 cups of coffee to OD on caffeine, just to put this in perspective. Now, it's one of the string of products like this now that's in existence. There's also caffeinated nasal spray with a very classy name called Turbo Snort. The snortable powder has B vitamins mixed in, you know, to make it healthy. Look, folks, listen to me. Stick to coffee, people. Just imagine the look on your boss's face, though, if you pulled out a vial of the stuff and did a line at your desk. Wow. That's about as dumb as calling in a bomb threat. What's dumber than calling in a bomb threat? What this 20-year-old or 28-year-old Florida man did at a Walmart bathroom. He went into the bathroom and threatened to blow the place up. And he wasn't talking about unloading his bowels. His name is Cody Clements. He found a lost cell phone in the Walmart bathroom. Now, what would you do if you found a lost cell phone in a Walmart bathroom? Most people would just walk off and not think anything about it. But not Cody. He got the bright idea to use it to call in his bomb threat. He told a 911 dispatcher that there was a bomb in the store, and when the dispatcher called the number back, Cody answered the phone and told them, tick-tock, tick-tock, and hung up. Now, that wasn't just a catchphrase. It was also his excuse, by the way. Cody left the store just as the police were getting there. The cops contacted the phone's owner, looked at security footage, and put the pieces together to find out what had happened. And they also tracked down Cody, who, by the way, lived in the area. So he was arrested, and he told the authorities, oh, I'd seen people on TikTok making fake bomb threats and thought I could make one myself. What? He was charged with making a false report about planting a bomb, which, by the way, is a felony. This dude should be humiliated, mainly because he's a grown man who knows about TikTok trends. I mean, bombs don't go off in the Walmart bathrooms unless, of course, they just happen in the stalls. And then there's our Domino's delivery driver who was a victim of an attempted carjacking about 1 o'clock in the morning over in Connecticut. Now, there's some pretty wild details to this story. It all started when the driver gets out of his car. There were two suspects wearing masks that then jump inside and try to drive off. But the car got stuck on an icy road. And the driver threw a pizza at the perps. Well, that was enough for them to bail. They ran back to a getaway car and sped off. So the delivery driver got back into their car and chased them. But during the pursuit, the carjacker started shooting out the window back at the Domino's driver. Nobody was injured, thankfully. The driver slowed and the police joined in. Eventually, four suspects jumped out and ran. So the cops uses a canine unit to try to track them down, but they were unable to find them. But during the search, the cops did find a 16-year-old who had previously been reported missing. Gosh. I mean, police didn't say whether or not the teen could have been connected to the carjacking, but if not, that seems super random. Get up close and personal with My Stupid World by interacting with the podcast through Insane Eric Lane's Stupid World's Telegram channel. I post the actual articles used in the podcast episodes every weekend from the week's collection of stupidity. When you join the channel, you'll get to read the actual stories, see the actual photos, or watch the actual videos from the stupidity that is talked about in each episode. And you can even make comments about what you read or seen, even comments with your suggestions or opinions about what I've talked about. You can even share the links to some of the stupid stories that you've encountered. Visit t.me/insaneericlane. That's t.me/insaneericlane to see a preview of the channel and download Telegram Messenger, the app to your smartphone. It's also available in desktop versions as well, and it's supported on Windows, Linux, Apple, and Android platforms. Telegram is a secure messaging app that's gaining in popularity. You can learn more by visiting telegram.org.
And now, from the news desk of Insane Eric Lane, it's The Week in Review.
A proposal that recently cleared the House Education Committee would consider mental health days as excused absences for students, which, you know, just college kids would abuse even more than 30 packs of Natty Lights. Yeah, they'd be taking plenty of mental health days, which translates to, I'm too hungover for my gender studies class. A new study has ranked New York City first in walkable urban metro areas in the U.S. Just be careful, though, on walking those city streets this time of the year because you're likely to slip on that frozen urine. I mean, New York City is easy to walk. I mean, as long as you're good at dodging knives and bullets, of course. And firefighters in Texas rescued a deer that ran onto a resident's porch and became stuck while trying to squeeze between the wooden supports on a railing, which basically means that even the deer in Texas are overweight. I mean, there's a positive to the story, though. Yeah, I mean, you know, seeing that the border crossing areas, at least one fence in Texas works. And a new report says that actor Cal Penn really wants to make Harold and Kumar 4 happen. I mean, Cal thinking that this is a good idea proves that legitimized marijuana can be dangerous. And a new report says that Bianca Censori loves Kanye West's new titanium teeth so much that she made them her phone background. Seems a little weird, though, but look, let's just be happy her background isn't one of Kanye's other body parts. I mean, can you imagine the photos that she's got on that phone? There are probably more pictures of large snakes than you'd find in the average National Geographic magazine. Philadelphia 76ers star Joel Embiid became the ninth player in the NBA history to hit 70 points in a game, dropping exactly 70 on the San Antonio Spurs recently. It was the most vicious beating dished out by somebody from Philly since the city's last mugging. And a Florida man recently faced his arraignment date after he was found with cocaine hidden in his bra. He was then reminded by the judge that bras are for fun bags, not bags of coke. Nikki Haley got an unexpected question when she was at a New Hampshire rally when a heckler interrupted her speech to ask, "Will you marry me?" And you just know that Nikki's real husband wasn't excited because he thought he had finally had an out. The heckler then said he was voting for Trump, which means that Nikki can't even get votes from her fake husband. Minnesota Representative Dean Phillips said that President Biden has refused to speak to him ever since the House Democrat announced his rival candidacy. But he shouldn't be really offended because Joe can't speak, period. Joe didn't even answer the phone. I mean, at his age, that's probably because the ringtone wasn't set at max volume. A new study finds that plastic consumption in New Jersey spiked by nearly 3 times following the state's implementation of a strict ban on single-use plastic shopping bags. So this ban was somehow more useless than the state governor, Phil Murphy. And Squid Game Season 2 officially drops on Netflix this year. And in this season, 300 desperate Koreans are chosen to earn money in exchange for risking their lives by working on the set of an Alex Baldwin movie. Yeah, the first season of the fictional series featured contestants that risk death for cash, or as people in New York City calls it, walking to work. Now, Vice President Kamala Harris said she and President Biden's approval ratings would increase if they took more credit for their administration's accomplishments. And Now she's being referred to as a psychiatric institution for severe delusions. I think what the American people want more in their leaders is that we actually get things done. This is what Harris said in an interview with Katie Couric on Next Question, which is exactly why many of them will be voting for someone else. And researchers from the University of Maryland reveal that the moon has been gradually shrinking, much like a grape turning into a raisin, causing its surface to wrinkle and form faults. But the moon isn't the only thing suffering from serious shrinkage this winter. Over the past few hundred million years, the moon has lost more than 150 feet in circumference as its core cooled down, so I guess it takes the moon as much time to trim fat as the rest of us. Officials in a Texas county said a beaver was to blame for a neighborhood's main access road being washed away in the rain. Of course, it makes sense because any divorced man will tell you beaver can sure cause a whole lot of problems. I bet they were so angry with this beaver, I can practically hear the whole county yelling, "Damn!" And a new movie starring Star Wars actress Daisy Ridley is in theaters. It's called Sometimes I Think About Dying, which is exactly what you'll be thinking about while you watch this movie. I mean, here's the synopsis. Fran, who likes to think about dying, makes the new guy at work laugh, which leads to dating and more. And, the relationship with this, the dude doesn't work out. She's definitely got a hot date with the Grim Reaper. Joy Behar teased co-host Alyssa Farah Griffin for her stewardess outfit choice on a recent episode of The View. But look, the outfit choice was appropriate considering this show is as disastrous as Boeing airplanes. I mean, at one point, Behar says to Griffin, "I'm wondering if you're serving snacks." She then ordered 20 bags of Biscoff cookies. And at the Louvre Museum, two climate activists threw soup at a glass protecting the famed Mona Lisa. It was the worst thing to happen in France since people stopped applying deodorant. I mean, soup was splattered all over the place. And, well, if they had done that on the canvas, well, their art would have been hanging in the Louvre, too. President Biden referred to Donald Trump as a loser while addressing attendees at the South Carolina Democratic Party's First in the Nation dinner. Everybody was stunned that Joe was actually able to utter a complete sentence, that is. I mean, Joe knows all about complete losers. I mean, after all, his son is Hunter Biden. A recent survey finds that young adults are increasingly living with their parents and relying on them for financial support. And these people are somehow spending even more time in the basement than the current president. And a baby, very impatient to meet the world, was born in the parking lot of a Wisconsin McDonald's when his parents were not able to get to the hospital in time. But look, this isn't the craziest thing to come out of someone's body after eating Mickey D's. Baby Micah was born at 8 pounds, 6 ounces, which coincidentally is about how much the Big Mac dump is left in a McDonald's toilet would weigh. The Welsh Ambulance Service revealed that someone recently called saying they had, quote, too much kebab, which led to a very painful stomach. And, well, this might not be a medical emergency, but it definitely leads to a serious plumbing emergency. There's not much you can do for someone like this. I mean, give them a pack of baby wipes and a book of matches and then say a prayer. Another beloved character is joining the Crocs family as the company will soon debut a pair of rubber clogs themed after Patrick Starr from SpongeBob SquarePants. These, of course, will undoubtedly be the ugliest thing on someone's feet since fungal toenails. Ellen DeGeneres celebrated her 66th birthday by getting in a grueling workout in her home gym, and she somehow abused those weights even more than she abused her crew members. A Big Ten's women's basketball game turned vicious for a few seconds after a tussle for a loose ball turned to fists flying, which is kind of shocking because it's not every day you see women's basketball players fighting over loose balls. I mean, a player from Michigan and Maryland were ejected after they each appeared to throw punches at each other. Of course, let's just hope they made up after the game by using their fists in a different way. And finally, a new weather report says New York City would continue to be hit by cold weather, which means that residents would have to continue slipping on the sidewalks due to that frozen urine I talked about earlier. Hey!
I'm open to talking about anything, but love talking about surviving in the stupidity that's always around us. And if you're insane enough to ask, I'm insane enough to reply. I'd love to hear from you either by leaving a voice message or a written message. And you can even do that at podcast.insaneericlane.com. Leave any comment you have from a podcast or even a question you have. I'll be happy to address either one. Your questions or comments might even be played and or even talked about in a future podcast episode. And if you or someone you know would like to join in on a podcast, you're more than welcome to participate. You can download the Spotify for Podcasters app on your phone, and you can do that just as simple as a phone call. Or I can even send you a link that you can actually participate from the website. You can download the app to your favorite app store and add that podcast to your favorites. You can also email me with comments, questions, requests at shoutout@insaneericlane.com. And of course, should you certainly subscribe to the podcast if you listen on Apple, iHeart, Breaker, Google, Vrbo, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Spotify, or whatever podcast platform you're listening to. Don't forget to follow me also on Facebook and X. Just look up the handle at Insane Eric Lane.
Underneath this genius, I'm simply a human.
It's like a caveman thing or
something. And now this week's Genius Award.
And in this week's Genius Awards, two men were arrested after being caught driving at speeds of 199 miles per hour, according to the Orange County Sheriff's Office. Deputies said they arrested Luis Alejandro Lozano Figueroa and Mario Alberto Pazgil. It was a post that was posted on social media where investigators said the two men were caught engaging in unlawful and dangerous street racing on the Florida Turnpike. The recent arrest serves as a stark reminder that such behavior will not be tolerated, reinforcing the commitment to maintaining public safety on the roads. That's what the deputy said in that social media post. Street racing has been a constant consistent issue for residents in Central Florida. In fact, last year, troopers told 6 News that they had noticed an uptick in the state. Now, the Orange County Sheriff's Office also announced a crackdown on street racing and said last year alone they made 157 arrests, issued 1,290 citations, and seized 54 vehicles. And early last year, a 16-year-old was cited when he was clocked 132 miles an hour driving down a stretch of I-4 in Orange County. Details on where the two men were caught speeding on the Florida Turnpike or what they were doing have not been released. But man, those speeds were high, almost as high as the people who still think living in California is a good idea. I mean, 199 miles an hour. That's insane. Of course, they're lucky they didn't end up like California's economy, dead. And then there's this. A suspected cocaine dealer was found hiding inside the dryer in the kitchen area when police raided a Louisiana residence, according to the court filings. Armed with search and arrest warrants, cops arrived at a Monroe home seeking to collar 26-year-old Darren Pittman, who allegedly had been selling crack from the two-bedroom apartment. Now, investigators were met by 19-year-old Michelle Smith, who yelled several times that Pittman, her boyfriend, was not at the residence. Smith would subsequently be arrested for obstruction when she allegedly sought to keep the officers from entering and searching the property. Police also busted 18-year-old Chade Johnson when he fought with police after arguing the validity of the search warrant. Charged with resisting obstruction and felony battery of a police officer, Johnson put all officers on the scene in great danger by interfering with the execution of the warrants. And for his part, Pittman was not initially visible when the cops got there and tangled with Smith and Johnson. But the 766-square-foot apartment did not offer an abundance of places to hide. In a probable cause affidavit, a Monroe Police Department officer said the cops had detected movement in the kitchen before entering the apartment. Pittman was later located inside the dryer in the kitchen area where officers had heard movements earlier, according to Officer Serenity Smith. It's not every day you find a crack dealer inside of a dryer. Usually, they're just located inside of 7-Elevens. But I mean, hey, the people inside the residence tried to help him. They could have just hung him out to dry. Or how about this? They certainly weren't inconspicuous here. Wild videos shows the moment a group of thieves in Oakland, California, yanked an entire bank ATM out of the ground, hitched it to the back of a van with a rope, and then dragged the metal machine while speeding down the road, sending sparks flying everywhere through the air.
The footage was captured by a bystander who could not believe what he was seeing. The two ATMs, including the one dragged by the van, were stolen from separate locations in the city that is currently struggling with a rise in property crime, according to Oakland police. The automated teller machine in the video was stolen from outside of a Bank of America on Hedgenberger Road shortly before 7:30 in the morning, according to police. Multiple individuals used tools to rip out the ATM before taking off with it, as shown in the video. The witnesses that filmed the wild heist said that he saw three or four people involved in the theft. The other ATM was stolen from a nearby business on Alameda Avenue about an hour earlier. Now, Oakland police announced that they have arrested a suspect in connection with the Bank of America robbery. They took Anthony Pearson into custody the same day of the thefts, but are continuing to search for the other assailants. But look, crooks are now stealing entire ATM machines. I mean, they're figuring out such creative ways to steal money that our federal government is now recruiting them for jobs. This all went down in Oakland, California, where it'd be way more surprising if the criminal activity did not happen. And what about this? A car thief on a remote road in Oregon got a rather nasty shock when they removed a closure sign and cruised right into a hole. Authorities were called to the scene of an upside-down car on fire shortly before 8:30 in the morning, according to the Tillamook County Sheriff's Office. The driver and supposed thief fled prior to the officer's arrival. The road had been closed for some time, but they removed the barrier and the road closed signs and drove directly into the hole, according to the sheriff's deputy, Ben Berger, had said. The photo shows the vehicle upside down and looking slightly charred. The portion of the road where the car flipped was partly disintegrated as a result of a landslide, according to KATU-TV. This has been an ongoing problem with people removing barriers and driving on the closed portion of the road. Now, obviously, it's extremely dangerous, Berger says. The car's owner called 911 about an hour after the crash to report that the vehicle had been stolen sometime in the early morning, according to the sheriff. The owner's home is about 5 miles from the crash site. Now, both the theft and the crash remain under investigation, according to authorities. So he crashes into this large hole. Maybe this might have been a sign to get a new job. Well, I guess he's not alone. I mean, after all, this certainly isn't the first time a hole ruined a dude's life. You got to check this one out. A 32-year-old motorcyclist who authorities say posted a video of himself on YouTube speeding from Colorado Springs to the Denver metro area on I-25 in just 20 minutes. By the way, that trip would typically take you about an hour. Is now wanted on multiple charges. Rendon Dietzman from Texas recorded himself going more than 150 miles an hour, squeezing through small gaps in traffic and traveling on the shoulder, according to a Colorado State Patrol news release. The video has since been deleted from YouTube, but the State Patrol shared a clip with the news release. Dietzman, who is known as Gixer Bra on YouTube, has posted multiple similar videos from different parts of the country. He's wanted on charges of menacing, engaging in a speed contest, reckless endangerment, reckless driving, speeding 40 miles an hour over the limit, engaging in exhibition of speed and driving without a license plate attached. This is an extreme example, but sadly a real one, says the State Patrol Sergeant Troy Kessler. If you drive like this, you can expect to be arrested when you are located. This is the best outcome for a person who drives violently, since the smallest mistake could result in his death or that of an innocent person in the area. Now, the State Patrol coordinated with the Dallas Police Department in Texas and the El Paso County District Attorney's Office in Colorado to identify the rider as Dietzman, whose hometown was not released. But this idiot broke the law and recorded himself doing so and then uploaded it online. Kind of amazing that these cops these days can make an arrest by simply having a YouTube account. I mean, what a big mistake in a place like Colorado. Why travel at high speeds like that whenever you can just stay home and get high? And you'll never believe this. A 27-year-old Florida man was arrested after allegedly kicking a Circle K cashier in the forehead with a thrown chocolate egg. He struck the Circle K cashier with a chocolate egg. Then he hopped the counter to further batter the victim. Now, according to a criminal complaint, Edward Riordan, the convenience store worker, tried to check out John Mahas as he was next in line. But for some reason, Mahas refused to let Riordan handle the transaction. Instead, Mahas walked over to another employee, rendered payment, and threw a chocolate egg toward the victim, hitting him in the forehead. The complaint does not indicate if the egg was a Cadbury, a Kinder, or a lesser Hershey concoction. But after Riordan asked him to leave, the Circle K, Mijas became irate, according to cops, and then hurtled over to the counter to push and strike the victim's face. When subsequently questioned by police, Mijas reportedly admitted he jumped over the counter and struck the victim. Mijas was arrested for battery, a misdemeanor, and then booked into the county jail, from which he was then released later when he posted a $1,000 bond. Now, Mijas lives about a 10-minute drive away from that Circle K, which is located in Tarpon Springs, Florida, a central Gulf Coast city. So, what an absolute low-life creep. I think it's safe to say this dude is a bad egg himself. I mean, it's common to beat your eggs, but it's not every day you see someone get beat with an egg, much less a chocolate egg. Okay, one more. There's a woman that filmed desperately clinging to the hood of a speeding car in downtown Los Angeles after the thieves inside stole her French bulldog. Ali Zacharias was simply enjoying lunch with her little pup named Onyx at the Whole Foods on Grand Avenue and 8th Street around 2:30 in the afternoon when the stranger starts calling for the dog, who was sitting at her feet underneath the table. The woman then grabs the dog's leash and starts walking away with him. Zacharias says she initially thought it was a simple mistake. "I didn't think that somebody was stealing my dog," she says. "I thought it was just a misunderstanding. So I said, 'That's my dog, excuse me.'" And she wasn't listening. The woman got into a getaway car that was waiting nearby, and Zacharias tried to get inside, but said the car was packed with four others inside. They pushed her out and locked the door, she said. So she panicked. Zacharias got in front of the car while screaming for help, but nobody came. She says, "The next thing I know, the car is driving into me, and I fell onto the roof," she tells the news outlet. The suspects drove several blocks with Zacharias still on top of the car before a sharp turn violently throws her to the ground. She reports the incident to the LAPD, who have canvassed the area for surveillance footage of the robbery and getaway. Now, Onyx is a black Merle French bulldog with a spotted coat and different colored eyes, still is missing. She says she's offering a significant award for the dog's return. Look, anybody that steals somebody's dog is a real dirtbag. I mean, I really hope they send this jerk to the pound. Should be pretty easy to find a French bulldog, though. I mean, all the cops have to do is listen for the grunting and the difficulty breathing. Oh, look, help spread the stupidity. We need you to share, subscribe, rate, and review the podcast, because this is five-star stupidity. It deserves a five-star rating. Besides, when you rate and review the podcast, it will help it to show up prominently in searches where people are still searching for stupidity. Now, if you're streaming the podcast but you have poor cell or Wi-Fi coverage, why don't you just download every episode to your podcast player? Podcast Addict is the app I recommend for optimum performance. It's free with two types of paid versions, too. And besides this episode, there's always the weekend episode where my insane Florida nephew, Pancho Guerrero, will join me with his witty commentary to the stupidity, and he'll even answer some of your questions with his sage wisdom. Ask Pancho about anything, and you can test your skill against Pancho during the weekly Insane Game Show. And after I have both episodes published, I then will put the links out from the stories that were based on all the things we talked about on Telegram Messenger. Now, if you join the Insane Eric Lane Stupid World channel, you can check out these links as well. Now, on that, you can make comments about them. You can share them with your friends. You can interact with the podcast as well. You can preview the channel and get a link to download the Telegram Messenger app at t.me/insaneericlane. t.me/insaneericlane. It's free. It's available in desktop or mobile versions for Windows, Linux, Android, or Apple platforms. And don't forget to follow me on social media. Just look for the handle at Insane Eric Lane on Facebook or X, or just check all of them out at my website, InsaneEricLane.com. So, finally, just ponder this quickly, won't you? The world isn't getting more stupid. It's just easier for stupid people to get their opinions heard.
Insane Eric Lane's Stupid World is produced with the support from EnvisionWise, LLC, and AmeriCountry.com, from Wise Brother Media, Universal Comedy at the United Stations Radio Network, SheetHappens.com, Good Parts Media, and Mr. Laughs.
Theme music from Randy Stonehill. It's a Great Big Stupid World. Copyright 1992 Stonehillian Music. Word Music, Twitch and Vibes Music, and is available anywhere you purchase music.
Thanks for making it to the end of Insane Eric Lane's Stupid World. Please be sure to seek therapy to ensure you still have your wits with you. And if this has inspired you to try your hand at making a podcast, you can do it absolutely free with Spotify for Podcasters. The editing and music library are at your fingertips with Spotify for Podcasters. Download the app from your favorite app store.